I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Thursday, May the 5th, 2016.
Cinco de Mayo. Did you wish everybody a happy May the 4th be with you? You're not a Star Wars fan.
Star Wars is fine.
We did. Emma said it yesterday, though.
I wished everyone a happy Cinco de Cuatro.
Yes.
And then I was like, man, I need to go back and watch some Arrested Development.
Don't watch that season. It needs
to
die.
The whole season's great. I mean, the whole
one through three, but that fourth season was a train wreck.
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, I mean, it wasn't as good as the first three, but I enjoyed it. Yeah, they took a different approach to it.
If you don't watch Arrested Development, those that are listening, the whole season is based around a Cinco de Cuatro party because they celebrated on the 4th.
Yeah. And then eventually, there's a riot.
Yes.
So, anyway. That's Derek Russell. I'm Brad Locke, by the way.
Derek Russell.
Chris Kiefer over there.
Hello.
Producing. And
it's Friday.
I was trying to think of something to... No, it's not.
It's my Friday.
I was trying to think
it's
of
all that matters.
Something to rhyme with producing. But I was trying to be clever.
Straight loosing.
You know, like, Kiefer's over there styling and profiling, or he's over there producing and...
If he had a koosh ball, we could say he's kooshing.
A what?
A koosh ball?
I don't know what that is. Koosh ball?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
thank you. Ball. God, you're old.
But I also think of that LSU cheer. Koosh, 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 Tigers, poosh, poosh, poosh.
No, thank you. I'm glad you're not an LSU fan.
I grew up around a lot of them. Yeah. I was for a few years, middle school.
Well, that's a weird time for everybody. You make a lot of poor choices in middle school.
We have strange feelings we don't understand at that point in our lives.
I feel compelled, but it also seems wrong.
Yeah. So anyway.
I don't hate them as much as the rest of my family does, though.
Well, that's not good. You should hate them as much as the rest of your family does.
They do have some of the most obnoxious fans in college football.
LSU and Tennessee.
Yeah. Quite a few SEC schools have obnoxious fans.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Pretty much they all are. I mean, you really can't single them out.
All schools do. It's just to varying degrees.
Yeah. I would say probably like Georgia's the least annoying to me.
Mm, that's fair.
Yeah.
I haven't really encountered annoying Georgia fans. Never.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Alabama. You got, let's be honest, Ole Miss has its segment.
Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I've not really encountered very many obnoxious South Carolina fans, but I think it's probably because I just haven't encountered many
South Carolina fans. They are. Tennessee's the worst.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't actually know that. I can't back that up.
I don't, like, love or hate
most
teams.
Most people are annoying to me. True. So it's a slippery slope.
Same here. Especially, you know what the kind of fans I hate the most?
Cranky.
Yeah.
You know, kind of
that
fans,
was why I said it.
You know the kind of fans I hate the most, and someday I want to write a column or
Chris Kiefer
a whole book
cranky
about this. The fans I hate the most are happy fans. I had a revelation
you
recently.
You just hate happy people.
Well, maybe. I had a revelation recently that I just love, you know, like at the end of a game when somebody hits a game-winning shot and you see the fans from the losing team, and they show shots of the sad fans, those are my favorite thing. Pictures and videos of sad fans. I don't know why. And I figured out growing up, you know, I had teams I cheered for. But if my team lost, I wasn't angry about the other team winning. I was angry about their fans being happy. I don't know.
You're a monster.
You're Scrooge.
I'm like, I don't. And so even now, like, I'm watching a game and I don't care who wins. But, like, if the fans are happy and obnoxious, it's even worse.
You're
so, like, if LSU wins a game, I'm like, those fans.
You're like Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace.
I guess. It's not a bad sign for me. I mean, I have a goal long term of just being a cranky old curmudgeon.
You're like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. I mean, you're just a jerk.
He is a role model, that character.
Oh, God. Well,
except for the racist part. I'm not,
I was going to say, how far are you going to take that?
Not that part of his character.
But he's got a nice car.
He does have a nice car. So I don't know. I just something I want to, some kind of psychological thing going on there with me that I don't like happy fans. But I will just eat up all those shots and pictures and videos of sad fans. It just, I see a fan crying after the game, it makes me smile. I'm like, it's a game. Why are you crying? Get over it. Okay.
You're such a happy person, Brad.
I know. Anyway, on a brighter note, what do we got on the show today? We've got We got Zach Orsborn talking about Trent Harmon, American Idol champ, coming to Tupelo in June.
Yes, he is.
We got Caleb Bedillion talking about the Mill Village, some property purchased by the city, try to reinvigorate that neighborhood. We've got Scott Morris reviewing Keanu, the Key and Peele vehicle. I'm not big into Key and Peele, so I have no idea if that's going to be any good. I mean, they're
very
okay.
Excited for it.
Okay. I mean, it looks funny.
So. Any movie with a cute cat.
True. And Derek here will have the recap of the scene section in today's journal. Let us know what's going on this weekend in the area.
If you see a lot of classic cars in the works this weekend, you'll know why.
Blue Suede Cruise is coming.
I passed a Mini. Actually, it starts today.
Is that why? Because I was driving back from Florida on Sunday. I passed quite a few classic cars on I-10.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they're headed this way. Yeah. Saw some sweet ones.
Well, were they coming up and you were going down?
No, they're going the same direction as me.
I don't know. One's cruising the coast. I don't know when that is anymore.
I don't know.
I think it's around the same time.
Could be. Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, I was going through Mobile and saw a bunch.
Yeah. Well, there's a ton already in town, I've noticed, over the last couple of days. They kick off with a Elvis drive-in movie in front of the arena tonight.
Nice. Okay.
So.
Well, we'll talk about that and other stuff as well on the show today. On this Thursday, last show of the week. Emma Kent was here yesterday, but Derek's back, and you know Emma tried to do a Derek impression, try to fool people, thinking
apparently it was cranky.
She tried to be cranky, but she couldn't get her voice low enough. I wonder if you could do an Emma impression.
Thanks, Brad.
That's okay.
I can't do one.
Yeah, I can't either. Can't get my voice that high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't be as snarky as she is.
She can't be a little. I mean,
she's gonna call me cranky, I'm gonna call her snarky. I love Emma to death, but
she's sweet, sweet lady. But she's snarky. She can be. Yeah, I guess she can.
She's
be
sharp. She's got that sharp wit.
She does
about her.
She does. Anyway, we got a lot on the show today, so I guess let's get to it, Derek. Unless you just want to keep talking about fans.
Let's do it.
Sad fans.
I hate your fans.
Sad fans are the best. I'm gonna start a blog, just dedicated to pictures and videos of sad fans. I might do that. Okay.
Like Tumblr.
Money
like
maker.
Sad SEC fans.
Yes.
Tumblr.com.
Dude, once football season starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might do that.
I wouldn't limit yourself to SEC. There's so much you could use from the NBA, from the NFL.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you should really.
Everywhere.
Fans are passionate.
They are.
I'm going to guess this is already a thing.
It probably is with my luck. But, you know. Who says I can't do it, too?
There's a Bleacher Report, 30 pics of sad fans sulking.
Well, I don't visit that website on principle. You will never
There's
see
not,
me.
Nothing's popping up that's like the central.
Right, nobody steal my idea out there, okay? I'm going to do this. I'm going to get on Tumblr.
You don't like Bleacher Report there, Bradley?
I hate Bleacher Report. Just everything they stand for and everything, the way they do things. It's just, I wish they would not exist. They're a joke.
Well, there you have it. Let's get started.
Today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Now we welcome in Caleb Bedillion, local government reporter. How's it going, man?
Thanks, Brad. Glad to be here today.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about this story. The city of Tupelo, again, purchasing some property to help revitalize it, this time in Mill Village. It's going to cost about $70,000 trying to help revitalize that neighborhood, and that's been kind of an ongoing effort, I guess. Where exactly are these locations they're buying?
That's right, Brad. The city of Tupelo is buying 5 properties in Mill Village, 2 of them on Magazine Street and 3 different lots on Malone Boulevard.
Okay.
Now, the Magazine Street lots are near the intersection of Magazine and Church Street.
Okay.
So Magazine runs east-west, Church runs north-south, and these 2 Magazine lots are a little bit to the west of the Church Street intersection.
Okay.
They are adjacent to what's called Frisco Alley or Frisco Lane,
okay,
which is kind of a short cul-de-sac that intersects with Magazine.
Okay.
And there's some land that runs along Frisco Alley that presumptively is going to be donated to the city. That's what current plans are for. That deal isn't final yet. But the city's vision is once that land is donated, they can take that along with the 2 lots on Magazine they've purchased. All that land is contiguous, and they're hoping to sell that back to a private developer and see maybe as many as 15 homes built in that area. So there are some similarities to the West Jackson redevelopment efforts where they're trying to see what's usually called pocket neighborhoods built along that West Jackson corridor. Though Mayor Shelton emphasized that what they're hoping to do in Mill Village is much smaller scale. We're not going to see the city spending millions of dollars to install a lot of infrastructure like has happened in West Jackson. The idea is really just clean up some of those lots, and by kind of collecting the land and putting together a large parcel, make that attractive for a private developer. Now, that's Magazine. There are three lots on Malone, and at least one of those lots is not adjacent to the other two. So the plans there in Malone are a little bit more in flux. The mayor mentioned, you know, maybe that could be turned around for private development, maybe a city park or some kind of green space there.
Yeah.
So the Malone plans are less firm right now.
Right, okay.
And I should emphasize, so they agreed to spend, the city council agreed to spend $72,500 on these property purchases, but that isn't entirely for Mill Village. $21,000 of that, the largest single purchase, is going toward a lot in Sharon Hills.
Okay.
And I'm going to have some more information on that in tomorrow's paper. So the rest of the money, though, the 72 minus the 21, went toward the Mill Village purchases.
So basically with these lots, these empty lots, they're just going to try to spruce them up a bit. I mean, they're not actually going to build anything. They're going to sell so someone else can build.
Right. The city's not in the business of constructing neighborhoods. Even on West Jackson, the city's not going to actually be building the homes. Now, they are doing a lot to install infrastructure, sewer lines, water lines. But then once those subdivisions are ready to go, then they're going to turn them around to private builders. Now, there are, in terms of getting these lots ready to go, two of the lots on Malone have dilapidated homes on them.
Okay.
And the plan is for the city to, of their own initiative, raise those homes.
Okay.
They'll have to have permission from the Historic District Commission.
Yeah, because that is a historic district.
It's a historic district, but the word I get is the district doesn't have a problem with that since the homes are in such poor repair. And it should be emphasized, any homes that a private builder went in to construct on the Magazine area would also have to comply with the Historic District building codes.
Yeah, and that's why Habitat for Humanity can't build there because of the extra restrictive restraints there.
That's right. Two of the lots they're purchasing on Magazine and one of the lots they're purchasing on Malone are owned by Habitat for Humanity currently. And what the director told me is complying with the Historic District building codes makes it a little too expensive for Habitat to build there. That's not in line with the kinds of homes they're trying to build for the people they're trying to help.
Yeah, I know there's been an effort recently to kind of get Mill Village spruced up a bit, make some improvements, and especially important for that, I guess, because of its proximity to downtown, and I'm sure that's one of the reasons that they're doing that.
That's right. Officials tell me they believe that the area could be attractive for a developer. Certainly you have the historic homes, and that has its own value, but then a location quite accessible to downtown. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You can read Caleb's story in today's journal or at djournal.com. And like you said, an update coming tomorrow on the Sharon Hills land purchase. So, Caleb, appreciate your time, man. Good stuff.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
Yep. Need to remind you about the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. We had a new episode of Prep Rally that came down yesterday. Every Wednesday, Gene Phelps and myself talk about high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. You can listen to that for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or preprally.djournal.com. And coming today, as every Thursday, we have double coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. You can also listen to that for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Zach Orsborn joining us now. Zach did me a solid yesterday by covering an event for me because I was too slammed to do so. So we're going to discuss what he learned at Downtown Association's press conference about the headliners, well, the entire entertainment lineup for the upcoming Tupelo Elvis Festival. Zach, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How about you, Derek?
Doing well. What did you learn downtown yesterday? Who are we getting for Elvis Fest this year?
Well, I had no idea when I got there who it was going to be, and then Cindy Harmon, Trent Harmon's mom, walked out.
Spoiler alert.
Big spoiler alert. And he's going to be headlining the Fair Park Entertainment portion of the Tupelo Elvis Fest. And That's going to be on Friday, June 3rd. He's going to be the headliner. And on Saturday, they're going to have 1,000 Horses and Brooke Eden. And, of course, there's going to be tons of Elvis tribute artists.
Yes, really, in recent years, that has become the more... Yeah. We've kind of flipped. Used to, we had like, I think even one year we had George Clinton and the P-Funk All and the All-Stars there. And I know we had B.B. King headline one year, but really the switch has gone to the Elvis tribute artists are really the headliners more than anything.
Yeah.
In recent years, that's where everybody wants to go. And it's a neat thing to get to watch so many of them on stage.
Yeah.
Who else have we got? Anybody of note?
Let's see. I don't know if you've heard of 1,000 Horses. I think they're a pretty big name. They're going to be headline Saturday night. And then there was one more band I saw. Memphis Jones will be there.
He was
there last year.
Yes. Big Elvis fan, Memphis Jones is.
And you can get tickets at TupeloElvisFestival.com.
Mm-hmm.
They're $20. Or you can get a weekend pass, which is a two-day pass for $30. But only between May 4th and the 27th.
Ah, so act now.
Yes.
Or
quick as possible.
Or miss your chance. All right. So that'll be coming up, like I said, that is June 2nd through the 5th, as Zach said. Look, I'm on the Tupelo Elvis Fest website. You're on there, Zach. There's your
name. Am I?
Yeah. There you go.
I've made it.
You're there. You're here.
That's you have arrived.
That was what you were holding out for.
Mm-hmm. I feel honored.
Hey, is Memphis Jones related to Jesus Jones?
No relation.
No relation
there.
Okay. Just making sure.
Jesus Jones.
Maybe distant cousins.
All right. Well, that will be coming up soon. That's always a big time for not only the residents of Tupelo, but also visitors coming to the area. We get a huge push in visitors.
Yeah, and
tourists.
I think we're going to have a pretty good turnout for Trent Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
Just judging by our Facebook post alone,
yeah.
that just like blew up the internet yesterday.
Well, have you seen that video of, I don't know, were you at the viewing party at the Amory Railroad Festival? Did you go out there?
Oh, yeah, I saw videos of it.
The YouTube video, my God, the amount of people that were standing in front of the stage watching those final moments of American Idol, it was huge.
Yeah, I mean, our Facebook post about the Harmon coming to Elvis Fest, it's got, as of right now, almost 500 shares.
There you go.
That's way more than we usually get.
It's the most famous 70, I got on a tweet.
76 ever. Comments, mostly females.
Of course.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I said mostly.
No.
Well, let me see. Where's your comment?
I didn't share it. I can't speak.
Where's your comment, Derek? OMG, Trent Harmon. What?
OMG,
name me Trent.
OMG, BBQ. Does it show I'm almost 31 and I don't know what any of those words mean?
BBQ is tasty.
Yeah, that's all I know. Food. Okay. Obviously, by looking at me, you can also tell I'm old and fat and I like barbecue. All right, Zach, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you all.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Teachers across the nation and in Northeast Mississippi are being celebrated this week as part of National Teacher Appreciation Week. School parent-teacher organizations are rolling out breakfasts, lunches, and other treats to show appreciation for the men and women who teach children each day across the region. Lawhorn Elementary PTO President Amy Giorgenti said the teachers go above and beyond for students, and this week is a chance to show them love and appreciation.
Mississippi's tax collections took a dramatic nosedive in April through April. Recurring collections are $79.8 million, or 1.82% less than the amount collected during the same time period last year. April's collections were $77.9 million, or 12.4% below last April. Department of Revenue spokeswoman Kathy Waterbury said officials believe part of the shortage was due to a timing issue, since the deadline to file tax returns was 3 days later than usual. Some claims were not processed and will be included in May. For the year, collections are $207 million below the official estimate. But the revenue is only $98 million below the estimate when factoring in funds from a lawsuit settlement and cuts and transfers made by the governor.
The Tupelo Farmers Depot will have a soft opening Saturday, 1 week ahead of schedule. Assistant Marketing Manager Craig Helmuth said they had farmers who needed to get stuff out of the field and have a place to sell it. The market will be open Saturday from 6 a.m. until noon or until the vendors sell out. It will have its grand opening on May 14th. After that, it will follow its regular schedule of Saturdays from 6 a.m. to noon, Tuesdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and Thursdays from 6 a.m. to noon. Helmuth said they plan to have 26 vendors, but they may not all be ready this Saturday. The Tupelo Farmers Depot is located on South Spring Street near the railroad tracks. Early offerings will include strawberries, lettuce, greens, spring onions, broccoli, new potatoes, and English peas.
Two Nettleton teachers were charged with crimes against students on Wednesday. Jeff King, who taught 4th through 8th grade special education students in the Nettleton School District, was charged with simple assault for allegedly assaulting a special education student. He has resigned from the Nettleton School District. Paul Douglas Whitaker, a teacher in the Nettleton School District, was charged with 2 counts of touching a child for lustful purposes. He could also face more charges. Nettleton Superintendent Michael Cates said that this district is cooperating fully with the authorities.
Just a reminder, today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. A lot of things going on at South over there on North Gloucester. Got a new chef, Nick Rice. He's been on board since last April, so over a year now. He's introduced a new lunch and dinner menu, and he's added a weekend brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. And also, if you're into this sort of thing, I need to check this out, Derek. It's home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar, which just sounds fun.
That does sound like your kind of thing, Brad.
Yeah, although I don't know that I've ever had a Bellini or a mimosa, but
yeah, we went a couple of weeks ago, and it's good. I think it's like a $3 glass of champagne, and then you go up, and there's a table that's got a whole bunch of different flavors that you add to it. Cool. And then they've also, in addition to that, they've got a pretty beefed up Bloody Mary menu, I guess, so you can kind of customize your own Bloody Mary if you prefer that.
I don't like Bloody Marys. So. But if you do, there you go. You got happy hour specials as well each weeknight, and trivia every Wednesday at 7. So if you know any useless trivia, I need to go because I got lots of useless trivia in my head.
It's pushed out the more important things that you're supposed to know.
No, the important stuff gets pushed back out is what happens.
I couldn't tell you 3 things the Stamp Act of 1775 did.
Me either.
But if you read my column today, I can tell you about all kinds of television spinoffs.
Yes. Well, there you
go. I know nothing about anything.
I think it had to do with stamps, though. Maybe. What? Maybe stamps? Taxes on stamps.
Stamp Act?
Maybe.
Was it even 1775? Did I get that right?
Maybe.
Possibly. That's when they started charging for stamps.
Let me Google that for you.
Benjamin Franklin was in charge of that. Right?
1765.
Nah, so close.
Oh, see, I didn't even have that right.
Grief.
Terrible. Hey, also, we want to remind you about the Taste of Home event we've got coming up on Tuesday, May 17th. Taste of Home chef Jamie Dunn is going to share her home cooking tips and tricks while demonstrating step-by-step recipes for the season's best dishes. Get a gift bag filled with the Taste of Home Cooking School magazine, coupons, and other items for national and local sponsors. It's going to be at the Bancorp South Conference Center, like I said, Tuesday, May 17th. Doors open 4 p.m. The show begins at 6. You're not going to want to miss this. It's Tupelo's first cooking school in more than 10 years, Bradley.
Wow.
It's going to be high-value door prizes, including bar stools from Stash Furniture and a major appliance from Home Depot.
A major appliance.
A major appliance.
Like a microwave? We're talking like bigger.
Every time I'm reminded to say major appliance, I think of A Christmas Story. It's a major award. So tickets $12 in advance, $15 at the door. You can purchase them online at djournal.com/taste.
And you just...
I dropped that.
Dropped the paper, yeah, like dropping the mic.
Yeah.
You'll pick that up.
We need Dave Letterman. We're trying to be Dave Letterman.
We need that for next time.
Yes. Just throw it.
Good one, Derek.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, it's Thursday. That means M. Scott Morris is in here to tell us about a movie. Hey, Scott, what's up?
Well, you know, somebody has to come in every so often and make this podcast great again. I'm just glad it's me.
We're glad it's you too,
Scott. That's getting so scary.
The movie you are reviewing is called Keanu, and oddly enough, Keanu Reeves is not in this movie.
Yes, no, he is, actually. Is he really? He is that a spoiler? I don't know.
I don't remember even seeing it.
Where there was is he? A dream sequence in which the cat talks, Keanu Reeves is actually the voice of really? The cat.
I didn't even know that. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, the dream sequence was cool, by the way.
Okay, yeah, the cat.
I was too focused on everything else going on, but there was a cat.
It's a movie about this little kitten named Keanu, I guess named after the actor. And it's about this guy who finds the cat and it cheers him up because he's going through a tough time. And then some gangbangers, for whatever reason, kidnap the cat, which I don't know why they would do that. But
well, it's a very cute cat. That's kind of the story, is that the cat changes hands several times because everybody who comes in contact with it is just smitten right away. And so that's kind of... And that works comedically very well, except when it doesn't. And what I mean by that is, it's kind of hard to care about it when you kind of realize, oh, well, they're really just all in love with this little kitten. So it just kind of, it creates a little distance in the storytelling.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you ever watched Key and Peele on Comedy Central.
I've seen a few of their things. I don't watch it much, but
I'm kind of on again, off again, watch it too. But it's Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key. And since they come from a bit of a sketch background, this is kind of a sketch movie. And then it has these bits to play off really well. It may not fit together as nicely as you might want, as maybe stuff they'll do later on will. But I was entertained. So you see the previews and it's like, oh, look at the cute kitty. And it is a cute kitty film. The cute kitty shows up throughout and does cute things. And so it's like that.
Yeah.
But then it's not like that darn cat from Disney, though. And I'm dating myself now. That's from like 1912, that darn cat.
I know you're old, but dang.
That's a Dean Jones vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a while ago. And but there's a lot of sex and there's drugs and there's violence to go with the
and that darn
the
cat. Cute,
this
watched
cat.
A very different movie.
That was the editor's cut.
Well, it was the '60s and people were experimenting.
Dean Jones was bad.
People were experimenting in the '60s, but in this one. And so language, they're upset about the N-word at the president correspondent dinner a while ago, not long ago. And then it's all over this movie, if that bothers you. And then if you have a problem with naked women on screen, this may not be for you.
Kelly Carlson of Wizard 106 says it's not the cute little kitty movie that people seem to think it is. So don't take the kids.
You kind of sounded like her when you did that.
Really?
No.
Her voice isn't that deep, right?
No, not at all.
It is rated R.
Yes, rated R.
Right, so that's what tip you off.
I am not gonna spoil this, but there is one of the pieces, one of the bits that works so extremely well that was just I actually read a breakdown online about how they made that scene come together, and it was just entertaining reading about it as it was to watch it.
Really?
And so a lot of stuff works for people who are just like to be surprised and need something to laugh about. And then some stuff doesn't work.
Yeah.
But I give it a B myself. It's showing it to Malco. And quite frankly, if Key and Peele do another movie together, I'm going to try to be there.
Yeah. And one of my favorite things is the gang. They're called the Blips. They're Crip and Blood Reject, so Crip, Blood, Blips.
Pretty funny. Method Man's pretty
Method
tough.
Method Man,
and,
As
the 17th lead. Street Blips.
Where
can we find them? 17th Street.
and then they had this thing about if you're tough, you don't have to have a tough name. So you know this guy's tough because he's Cheddar.
Yeah,
you know?
Cheddar.
He's not like a...
There's Cheddar and Trunk and High C. Yeah, that's funny. Okay, well, Scott,
hey, and George Michael fans may want to go to this movie.
Oh, right, yeah.
Who isn't? It's probably... I think we should also say that there are two heroes played by Jordan and Peele are the whitest black men you're ever going to see. And so when they go into... this gang world. It is as much a fish out of water as if Brad and Derek went into the gang world. Let me just say. Although,
come on now, I got some street cred. I'd like to think.
No, you do not.
I don't.
But you did both play like cowboys, right?
Yeah, I played Van Bellinger. Come on, I was a bad guy. I played a bad guy. He gives me street cred.
You just talk about that just so he'll have to bring it up again and relive his glory days.
No, I just wanted to mention that horribly bad mustache he had for 3 months.
It was great. It's a great mustache.
Hey, y'all have a fine, fine day, and thanks for bringing me here on your little program.
Yeah, thanks, Scott, for coming on our little program. You can read his review in the journal today or at djournal.com. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Thursday. That means we get to talk about the scene section.
Tis, as I said at the top. Blue Suede Cruise is going to be your big event going on this weekend at the Bancorp South Arena parking lot.
Lots of old shiny cars.
Lots of old shiny cars. That is one of my favorite stories to do every year.
Really?
Well, I get to go out in the parking lot hang out with the old timers, the cars, not the men.
Well, some of those guys are old timers
too. Yeah. and get to sit in a few of them and look around. It's just amazing. I love old cars.
They let you drive any of them? Let you drive it?
No,
insurance. Peel out, do some donuts in the parking lot.
Journal could not cover the the issues that would come from that. So that starts tonight. As I mentioned, a drive-in movie going to be going on in the Bancorp South parking lot, arena parking lot. They do an Elvis movie. They never say which one. It's always a surprise.
Mm.
So that starts about sundown, but usually about 7:45, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So check for that. It's free. Just bring your chairs, bring your blanket. I'd bring something a little bit more comfortable than a blanket sitting on the parking lot.
It may be kind of cool tonight.
It is going to be a little cool tonight.
Yeah, really. Bring a jacket.
It's going to be in the low blanket. 60s.
That's all? We were down in the 40s last night.
Check the Weather Channel tonight for your weather forecast and see what the proper attire should be for an Elvis drive-in movie.
Of course, yeah.
In the Bancorp South Arena parking lot. Of course, it goes all day Friday and Saturday and Sunday as well.
Cool.
So you can go out all weekend. They give $10,000 away. On Sunday morning.
To who?
People who, the participants.
Oh, not to someone like me.
So what kind of goes on if you go? I mean, is it just kind of looking at the cars?
It's
kind of
like a big car museum. If you go inside the arena, they actually have ones for sale. You can go in there and buy. Kind of a car corral type situation.
Cool.
How many would you say they have?
Inside?
Just total.
Outside, this is the most pre-registered they had ever had. 530 vehicles pre-registered. He anticipates another 450 to 500 on-site registration between Friday and Saturday.
Talking about 1,000 cars.
By the end of the weekend, you'll have 1,000 classic vehicles.
Where do people come from? Are they from
all over? I mean, it is an all-over type thing. This is the 13th year for the event. It's a big event for the area, and people love coming to it. They treat them right. So.
Bands, too, right?
Yeah, I got live music from a group called La Bamba, Brad. La Bamba.
La Bamba.
La Bamba. I wonder what they play.
Do they cover La Bamba?
I believe that's actually the only thing they don't cover. It's La Bamba.
They're 50, ironic.
50s, yeah, ironic cover band. 50s, 60s, 70s music. Of course, you got a DJ there going all weekend too, playing not live music, but live recorded music. And so that's going on. Food, vendors. I mean, it's a heck of an event.
Okay.
Across town. Not Crosstown, but Across Town at the Orrin Dunn Museum. You can find the Duty Burger Festival.
Hamburgers.
I love going to the Duty Burger Festival and the little Duty's Diner out front of the Orrin Dunn City Museum at Ballard Park. That's going to be going on all day Saturday. So
yummy.
Lots of events going on there. They usually sell about 1,000 of those burgers. Also doing an eating contest this year. I want to throw up just thinking about it.
Yeah.
not that anything's wrong with the burgers. I just eating contests. I never can watch those. Like ESPN5 will have eating contests.
I don't know why people want to do that.
ESPN8. The Ocho. Yeah, the Ocho. They'll have.
Joey Chestnut, what motivates you?
They'll have the.
He's got to.
Just even talking about it.
He's got to feel sick afterwards, even if he's like professional and knows how to.
The Nathan's Hot Dogs. Oh, God.
Man.
I watched a Crystal one time, the Crystal Championship.
Crystal.
What's wrong with Crystal?
Oh, Crystal's okay, but why would you want to binge eat
Crystal?
Why
would you
want
to binge eat Nathan's hot dogs?
Well, Nathan's hot dogs are they're good.
I would binge eat
Crystal's
bacon.
Crystal's good, but it's
maybe
just, you know, the
I can't eat that much bacon. I get maybe like not. One, maybe two strips, and I'm like, I'm done.
But you know, Crystal's really not good for you. I mean,
hot dogs are.
I would say Nathan's hot dogs might be better for you than Chris's.
I don't know that for certain.
I don't know.
I'd like to see your sources on that, if at all possible.
It's all just anecdotal.
This is all false. I'm just talking. TCT's got a show. Bit of breaking news. You're the first to hear it on the memo. The show has been delayed a week.
Yeah, it's supposed to be tonight and tomorrow.
Yes.
I mean, Friday and Saturday.
Runs
or
in
was
the,
it tonight?
It was today and Friday.
Yeah, but now it's next.
Now it will be next Thursday and Friday, the 12th and the 13th.
Yes.
So that is reflected online, but same time, 7:30, 844-1935. Get your tickets on that. Tupelo High School's Mad Jazz going to have their performance going on today at 7 p.m. at the Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center.
I just did Jazz Hands.
Lavacus Auditorium, you did, as a matter of fact.
I'm glad this isn't video.
Tickets, $2 at the door. Can't ask for more.
$2.
$2.
I want my $2.
Thank you. You never make movie references. Better Off Dead. Very good, Bradley. I'm impressed. That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, me too.
Very nice. He's skiing on one ski, and there's somebody following him. Also, up in the Corinth area, there's going to be a kids' comedy and improv show Saturday at 5 p.m. at the Crossroads Arena. 287-7779. 7779. Yes, I did that right.
Okay.
On that one.
Your column today was about what? I haven't read it.
Funny women.
Funny women. It says on Golden Girls Pond. So, I mean, that's... I
like Golden Girls.
Right,
that was one of my favorite shows growing up.
Love that show.
I saw an insult the other day. People were talking about the new Ghostbusters, and they called it Ghostbusters with Golden Girls.
How's that an insult?
That's what I said. That's the point. That's funny to me, but, you know.
And they're not even old in whatever. Ghostbusters.
You know, people whatever. Want to be... There's so many people angry about...
I'm just seeing all these shows you listed that I used to love. Quantum
yeah?
Leap, A-Team, Knight
yes.
Rider, ALF.
Yes.
Let's be honest. ALF was one of the funniest shows ever,
ALF
in my
is
opinion.
The epitome of comedy television to me.
And do you know, I've read stuff before about how difficult that was just to film a single episode.
Well, the whole floor on that show, here we go into ALF mode. Hold on, folks. I own all four seasons on DVD. The whole floor was trap doors because Paul... I can't think of his name. The puppeteer that did ALF. Paul... Fusco?
That sounds kind of right.
Oh, I just went blank.
Paul Fusco.
Fusco. Got it. We had to be below the floor of the house to do the puppeteers, and like people would fall through the traps and everything. And it was a horrendous show to film.
Yeah. They had to have enormous patience on that show, the other actors.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, it was...
It ends
funniest.
On one of the best TV cliffhangers of all time.
I can't remember if I saw the last episode.
I'm
sure I did.
The last episode, he gets full nerd mode going on right now. He gets a transmission from Melmac, his planet, to go home.
Okay.
So he's going to go meet him. So Willie and them take him to the field to go meet him. And just as the spaceship's about to come, the government apprehends him and takes him into custody. And that's how the show ended. It was supposed to get picked up for a fifth season, and it did not. So you never...
I can't believe it was only four seasons.
It was four seasons.
Why did it not get picked up? Was it not as...
The ratings had declined, popular. And the actors were getting kind of...
tired.
Huffy. Yeah,
the trapdoors.
They fell a lot. Jeez. Working with a puppet all day long.
I always loved I can't remember the guy's name that played the dad.
Willie. I can't remember that.
Yeah, Willie.
Name. Max. Max.
Yeah, Max something. I always loved his character. He's just always just so stressed out.
Max Wright.
Max Wright, yeah. He played that role beautifully, I thought.
He did. I love that show very much. Anyway,
you have that on DVD?
I do have that on
DVD. I need to borrow it. My kids don't know about ALF, I don't think.
Oh, all kids should know about ALF.
I know. Okay, so anyway, you wrote about, as I mentioned, the Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, man, all these shows. Blossom.
Did you watch Blossom?
I sure did.
You look like one that would watch Blossom.
Whoa.
Yeah, you look like
I did.
Joey Lawrence.
Her friend Six. Like, who names her kid Six?
You had a crush on Six?
Kind of
did.
To be
you?
Honest.
Yeah.
I mean, that came out when I was in high school, I think, or junior high.
God, you're old.
I know.
Yeah.
90 sitcoms, man.
That's right.
And now, the shoot.
Blossom.
The girl's name. I can never pronounce
that name.
Malin Balik or something. Yeah, she's on Big Bang Theory now, which I didn't realize because I've watched that show sporadically.
Then Jenna can tell you all about that show. She's a religious watcher of it.
And the guy that...
all her cats are named after characters from Big Bang Theory.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know about all, at least two of them.
It's funny. And the guy that played... was in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation as well as Roseanne plays one of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember his name either. But anyway, it's always funny to see those.
He played Rusty in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, Rusty. That's what his name was there. It's always funny to see those young actors now in current sitcoms. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel old.
You are.
Yeah, I know.
We just want to make that known to everybody. Tell them where they can find us, Brad.
They can find us at djournal.com. Find all the stories there. Follow the journal on Twitter at djournalnow. You can follow the show on Twitter at djournalmemo. And follow me on Twitter at Brad Locke.
I'm at W. Derek Russell.
At Chris Kiefer over there.
At Chris Kiefer.
Both F silent. Chris Kier.
Chris Kier. Okay. Now we got everybody confused.
Know. Yeah. I'm confused.
This is the last show of the week. We'll be back on Monday.
I'm done. I'm checking out for the day.
Close the laptop.
I'm
He's done.
Done.
This is your Friday. You're off tomorrow.
All of it.
You lucky.
Taking this.
Person. Hey, Podgetter stays here. He's got to.
I'm taking all this. I'm taking you with me.
Got to keep an eye on things.
Everybody's coming with me.
Okay. Oh, hey, by the way.
Yes.
We're brought to you by South.
That we are.
Sponsored by South. This show is.
Mm-hmm.
Need to try that again. I'm talking like, Sheriff of Rottingham and Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Get my words all out of order. Today, you remind that show again once South. That's two movie references from
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you are. You're two for two. You've talked Robin Hood, Men in Tights before that.
Anyway. Once again, we remind you that today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere over there in North Gloucester. Hey, try their cheap date night if you're a cheap date like me. Every Tuesday, restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. You get a salads, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25 at South. And now we're done. The show is over. Everybody go home.
You're still here?
Including, you're still here?
It's over.
What are you doing here? Go.
Three references.
Yes.
Good night. Say good night, Brad.
Good night, everybody.
No, say good night, Brad.
Good night, Brad.
There you go.
Sorry.